Lech Lecha. OU Israel presents
Come in. Welcome.
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky, and this show is for Parshat Lech Lecha. The Shabbat of Parshat Lech Lecha is also known as Shabbat Aliyah because it is the record in the Torah of the first Oleh, Avraham Avinu and Sarah Imenu, who then was still called Avram and Sarai, were told by God to go to a land which he will show them. They, being the first Olim Chadashim of the Jewish people, I jokingly say that this was before the Jewish agency, this was before Shlichim of Aliyah, and even before Nefesh B'Nefesh, which means they had a much more difficult time in their Aliyah. On the other hand, I also say, seriously, that they did have an Aliyah Shaliach, and they did have help, perhaps as good and perhaps even better than Nefesh B'Nefesh, and that was God himself, and they set the pattern. There is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. There is also an obvious display in many, many places in the Torah of what I refer to as Retzon Hashem, the will of God, the desire of God, so to speak, and that is that we, the Jewish people, should live in Eretz Yisrael, in the land of Israel, and hold and keep this land and treat it properly, and deserve being here. And that all started with Parshat Lech Lecha. Recording and first broadcast Yom Chamishi, Thursday, Yud Aleph Mar Cheshvan, Tafshin Ayin, the 11th day of Cheshvan, 5770. The date is significant on two scores, very different from each other. The older one, which goes way back, it is the Yahrzeit, the anniversary of the death of Rachel Imenu, which means also it is the anniversary of the birth of Binyamin, the son of Yaakov and Rachel, the last of the Shvatim. He was born on the day that Rachel died in childbirth, and the traditional date for that event, or that pair of events, is Yud Aleph, the 11th of Cheshvan. In much more recent time, Yud Aleph Cheshvan here in Israel became Yom HaZikaron LeYitzchak Rabin, a memorial day for the assassinated Prime Minister of Israel, Yitzchak Rabin. And it is still a very open, sore wound in this country, whether you buy the line that it was a right-wing, religious, Zionist kind of incitement that led to his assassination, or you take the sinister approach as presented by several people that there was a conspiracy plot against Rabin from within his own people, and there was like a super frame, shades of the Kennedy conspiracy theories. There are some hard questions that have never been answered satisfactorily. position of bullets, the different ballistic reports, the autopsy reports, and it seems that it's not as simple as many people in this country think it is. I won't say more than that. When I mention Yitzhak Rabin, I do say Alav HaShalom, may he rest in peace. This is without making any kind of judgment of his tenure as prime minister and his history and his military activity and behavior and his personal behavior. He was the prime minister. He was assassinated. And today, Yud Aleph Cheshvan, is the memorial day for that. The sad part of it, extra sad part of it, is that it is often used as an incitement against certain right-wing circles who are still being blamed for that terrible event in modern Israeli history. On that note, let us say Psalm 130, calling to God from times of trouble. Tehillim Kuf Lamed. Shir ha-ma'alot mima'amakim kraticha Adonai. Adonai shima v'koli, tehiena aznecha kashuvot l'kol tachanunai. Imavonot tishmorya Adonai miya amod, ki imacha hasalicha l'ma'an tivarei. Kiviti Adonai kiveta nafshi velidvaro hocholti. Nafshi ladonai mi shomerim laboker, shomerim laboker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai ki im Adonai hachesed v'harbe imo fedut. Vehu yifde et Yisrael mikol avonotav. Achenu kol beit Yisrael hanatunim batzara uvashivya haomedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha hamakom yirachem aleihem. V'yotziyem mitzara l'yirvacha, u'me'afela l'ora, u'mishibud l'gu'ula, hashta ba'agala u'vizman kariv, v'nomar amen. The theme of Lech Lecha is the presentation of Avraham Avinu, Sarah Imenu, the first of our matriarchs, who basically are beginning to set the patterns which define Jewish life throughout the generations. So it is with keen interest that we review each year the events of Avraham and Sarah. The first two sedras, in contrast, of Bereshit and Noach, span a period of approximately 2,000 years in a feeling of fast forward, as let's get past these generations, the first 20 generations of the world, the first 2,000 years of the world. Avraham Avinu was born in 1948 from creation. It wasn't until later that he discovered or rediscovered belief in one God and started promulgating it, and getting into a lot of trouble because of it. And it wasn't until much later that he was told to come to the land of Israel, then known as the land of Canaan. And we see some of his trials and tribulations. When I say his, I mean theirs, referring to both Avraham and Sarah. And one of the important things which we see in this Sedra, and we see it elsewhere as well, is God's promise of the land of Israel to Avraham Avinu and to his descendants. God was not just sending them to live someplace else. He was saying to Avraham, among other times when he mentioned similar ideas, go outside, sa na einecha ure'e min hamakom asher ata sham, go look from the place where you are, tsafona vanegba vakedma vayama, look to the north and to the south, to the east and to the west, ki et kol ha'oretz asher ata ro'eh, all the land which you see, lecha etenena, I will give it to you, ulzaracha ad olam, and for your descendants forever. I will make your descendants as numerous as the grains of sand and dust particles on the earth. Later we have the promise of being as countless as the stars in the heavens. Kum hitalech ba'aretz le'orka ulerachba, ki lecha etenena. Get up, walk through this land, through its length and breadth, because I am giving it to you. Later in the Torah, if the question is, okay, you gave it to Avraham, but he had Yishmael and he had Yitzchak, the Torah makes a point of saying, ki v'Yitzchak yikarei lecha zara. The definition of your descendants, to whom this land is being given, to whom the blessing of Avraham is transferred, to whom the whole religion of Judaism continues, is the Jewish people through Yitzchak, not through Yishmael. Yishmael was a son of Avraham Avinu. The Torah tells us that. But as far as the heritage and inheritance of Israel and of Judaism, it goes through Yitzchak. And lest one think, Yitzchak, but what about Yaakov and Esav? We have psukim that carry it through Yaakov and to his children, as opposed to Esav. Anyone who denies the Jewish hold and claim to the land of Israel is exactly that, a denier. And just like we find it appalling that there are people who deny the details of the Shoah, the Holocaust, people who deny the facts as set down by the Torah, by the Bible, are equally appalling. And more important than attempting to convince anyone else, we, the Jewish people, have to understand and believe what the Torah says as to who this land belongs to. People who find it politically expedient to say otherwise still have to face the truth. God gave this land to the Jewish people. You want to talk about strings attached, that our behavior is what keeps us here? We could discuss that too. But the bottom line is, it was given to us ad olam, forever. When we fail to keep it properly, we get expelled. We get kicked out. We get exiled. But it never changes our claim and our ownership of this land which God gave us. That's an important message. And let's put it to song, and then we'll talk more about some of the things we learned from Parshat Lech Lecha. Lecha eten et ha'aretz hazot, et ha'aretz hazot, uvarech kol minei tuata letoba, veten bracha ad pnei ha'adama.
Let's hazor, uvarech kol minei
Tidbits Audio, as you know, is broadcast on both Arut Sheva, Israel National Radio, as well as OU Radio. My views on the topic of the theme of the song which we just played is probably more in line with and more to the satisfaction of the Israel National Radio people than some of the people from the home office at OU Radio, who are a little bit more politically complex, we'll say. But I haven't gotten into that much trouble, and I'm not asking for it, but I'm also not shying away from a position. There is no legitimate counterclaim to the Jewish claim on Eretz Yisrael, and that includes all of Jerusalem. There are people who will say, but look who's lived here at different times, and what are you going to do, kick them out? No, I believe, and this is not my personal belief, it goes way back, that non-Jews were always allowed to live in the land of Israel, provided they observed the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach, provided they were good people, provided they were not antagonistic to the Jewish rule. And I don't think there should be much compromise in that score also. So, as regular listeners or readers of Torah Tidbits have heard me say many times, I don't have to list all of the positions that I feel very strongly with now. But as far as this land belongs to us, let me just illustrate it. The Israel Center is located at 22 Keren HaYesod in Jerusalem. At the beginning of Keren HaYesod, there is a square known as Kikar Paris, Not too long ago, it was renamed Kikar Shichrur Pollard, a square in honor of the hopeful release of Jonathan Pollard. I think there's still a sign to that effect, but it's known as Kikar Paris. There's a fountain there that is very pleasant to sit by and to look at. And that's the beginning of Keren Hayesod, the end of King George. Also Rehov Agron off of that, also Ramban, and the beginning of Aza. In that kikar, there are weekly protests, mostly by a group called the Women in Black, who are, let's say, very left-wing, and their signs that they stand there faithfully every Friday and wave, say, Dai Lekivush, enough of the occupation. It is something that I totally agree with, except that we're talking about different occupations. They are referring to what they call the occupation of Israel, of legitimate lands of the Palestinians. The occupation is the holding of any part of Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel, in the hands of Arabs and any other non-Jews. This land belongs to the Jewish people. This land belongs to the people of Israel. It is something that God promised in perpetuity. Can't say it any clearer than that. And therefore, enough of the occupation. I could go along with that, provided you get which occupation correctly. I will repeat what I said before briefly, that there are strings attached, not to our claim, but strings attached to our getting the claim honored by God. God says, yes, it's your land, but if you don't behave the way you're supposed to, I will kick you off of that land. Not, I will give it to someone else. I will kick you off of that land, and whatever happens in the normal course of things, when a land and its people are separated, there are people who move in, and then there are people who develop a notion of a claim, whether in their minds it's really justified or not, and what international law views it as, is not the issue. It's a result of the fact that we were exiled. And what the world can't stand is that we're finally coming back. Over the last 100 years plus, Jews have been coming back in numbers more and more and more back to the land of Israel. We'll be right back.
Listening to
Torah Tidbits Audio.
Rest your eyes.
We are back with Parshat Lech Lecha. Let me make an abrupt change of gears, staying in Parshat Lech Lecha. In Lech Lecha, we find one mitzvah out of 613. Only one of three in all of the book of Bereshit, a very important mitzvah, the mitzvah of Brit Milah, circumcision. I want to focus in on one quality that Brit Milah has that I think the first mitzvah from Parshat Bereshit also has, and perhaps others as well, but at least let me focus on these two for a reason that will obviously emerge. Brit Milah, circumcision, the actual performance of the mitzvah on the eighth day of the baby's life, or later if something prevented the circumcision to take place, usually health reasons, on the eighth day. The actual cutting of the foreskin is preceded, as in many, many mitzvot, bracha, by a bracha, a blessing. Not one, but two, and in Israel, three. The first blessing is a standard Birchat HaMitzvah. Blessed are you, or you, God, are the source of all blessing, our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his mitzvot and commanded us, Vitzivanu al Hamila, on the circumcision. That's what the Mohel, the one performing the circumcision, recites after having handed the knife to the father, saying to the father of the baby, you should be doing this yourself, but if you want to designate me to do it, hand me that knife and appoint me as your agent, and I will perform the circumcision on your behalf. As soon as the Mohel finishes his bracha al hamila, the father recites the second bracha. Blessed are you, or you are the source of all blessing, our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his mitzvot and commanded us to enter the child into the covenant of Abraham. Asher kidishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu l'hachniso b'vrito shel Avraham Avinu. This is very significant. In case I don't get to talk about the third bracha, it's Shehechyanu. There's a lovely point to be made for that bracha as well. I hope to get to there, but let's go back. Rare do we have a mitzvah which has two brachot. The closest we get to it is tefillin, and there's a controversy as to whether there should be one or two. Let's leave that out of the discussion now. We are talking about two brachot for mitzvah, two very different brachot, one al hamila and the other lahachniso bevrito shel Avraham Avinu, both birchot hamitzvah, one recited by the one who actually performs the circumcision, the second performed by the father, regardless of who performs the circumcision. And it's very important, because Brit Milah has two aspects, two components. One is a surgical procedure, which we won't go into detail now, but it takes a couple of seconds and it's done. The second aspect of Brit Milah is long-term. Exactly how long is not determined. It means to enter this child into the covenant of Abraham, which means to raise this child as a good person and a good Jew. This is something which the father does not designate a representative or an agent to do on his behalf. This is very much his responsibility, the baby's mother's responsibility, and all of our responsibility to do whatever we can to help out in raising the child to be a good Jew and a good person. There is a technical thing with brachot, the difference between an al and a le. It fits with this too. Let's not get into that now. I will say that the ceremony of circumcision, the mitzvah of circumcision, is very often known as Brit Mila. It's a two-word phrase. It means the covenant of circumcision. But if we split it for a moment and we say that this shows us the two components, the circumcision, Mila, and the covenant that we are entering the child into, that's the word Brit. Brit, just as a symbol here, numerically is equal to 612. Bet is 2. Resh is 200. Yud is 10, that's 212, and another 400 for Taf, 612, meaning the 612, not meaning, representing the 612 other mitzvot besides Mila, Brit Mila, together is 613, which means the whole Torah. And a circumcision, yes, is a Mila, but it is a Brit Mila, meaning going along with the performance of this one mitzvah, is a commitment to raise this child, to keep all of the mitzvot of the Torah, as symbolized by this additional 612 to become that famous number of 613 mitzvot, which means all the mitzvot in their entirety. That's the commitment of Mila. It's a lifelong commitment, and it is not just that physical removal of the foreskin and whatever else is done. That's maybe the minor part of it. That's the symbolic act of it. The real commitment is a lot of hard work at raising a good Jewish child. In a similar sense, the first mitzvah of the Torah, Peru Urevu, be fruitful and multiply, is a mitzvah that has these two aspects as well. There is the physical act, which brings about the conception of a baby, and 9 months later, the baby is born. The commitment of a couple to bringing a child into the world continues well beyond the physical act of conception, well beyond the 9 months of pregnancy, into the bringing of a child into this world, and not abandoning it, but raising that child to be a good person and a good Jew, which is what I had just said about Brit Milah, and I think it equally goes for Peru Urevu, which means we're talking about the two positive mitzvot, the total number of positive mitzvot in the book of Bereshit, the ones that are presented to us before we stood at Sinai to receive the Torah. They are, of course, part of revelation at Sinai, but when the Torah presents them, they present it in the context of right up front, from the beginning. Peru Urevu has a context with Yaakov Avinu later, which we could call a Jewish context, but before that has the context of Adam and Chava, and then Noach, and those who came out of the ark, and that's a universal context. And Peru Urevu, be fruitful and multiply, to populate this world, is a responsibility of all people, but the responsibility does not end at just making a baby. It continues as to how you raise that child, nurture it, love it, and produce from that original union a responsible, good person. Again, I want to switch gears now, and I want to turn to the Haftarah, the reading from the prophets for Parshat Lech Lecha. The portion comes from the book of Yeshayahu, from the latter part, from chapter 40 on, which we read from last week in Noach, the week before we would have read the Haftorah of Bereshit, but it was preempted by Machar Chodesh. But the normal Haftorot of Bereshit, Noach, and Lech Lecha continue a theme that began right after Tisha B'Av with Shabbat Nachamu, where we commenced seven Haftorot in a row from the book of Yeshayahu, from chapter 40 on, all of which contain words of consolation to the exiled people of Israel that the Geula is approaching. Now, the fact of the matter is that a choice of this portion for Parshat Lech Lecha is very special, because if Lech Lecha introduces us to the beginning of the Jewish nation, to its very infancy with Avraham Avinu, then we ponder, yeah, but look at what has happened throughout Jewish history to this people of Israel. Then you open up the reading in Yeshayahu for the Haftarah of Lech Lecha, and you see the promise of Geula, as if to say, it's been a long road and a lot of ups and downs, but what started with Avraham Avinu and the promises that God made to Avraham Avinu perpetuate in the coming Geula. All right, I'm thinking about it. I don't know if perpetuate was the right word there, but I hope you get the idea. In other words, you get a very short glimpse at the beginning of a long, long road ahead, and now you're worried because we're in a down period, or have been for a long time. We see now the beginning of the footsteps of Mashiach. We see the beginning of the flowering of our redemption. We see the beginning of the return of Jews scattered all over the world to come back to Eretz Yisrael, and we begin to see some of the prophecies of Geula beginning or happening. And yet, the Haftorah comes and says, be comforted by the fact that, yes, it has been a long road, but we're getting there. And the promises are things that you could bank on, as God's promises are. The particular verse in the Haftarah, which is a song by Dedi Graucher, which he calls Vekovei Hashem, which I say is a mispronunciation of that first word. It's Vekoyei Hashem Yachalifu Choach, translated, but those whose hope is in God will have renewed strength. Ya'alu Ever Kanisharim, they will grow a wing like eagles. They will run and not grow tired. They will walk and not grow weary. Yarutsu velo yigau, yelechu velo yiafu. That's the song, Dedi Graucher.
Yo!
One of the remarkable things about the presentation in the Torah of the personalities of our patriarchs and matriarchs is that they were remarkable people, but they were very human as well. They are not these super lofty images that we have of supernatural people. They were people who lived and made mistakes sometimes, and we learn from those also. And it should not be any kind of a detraction from the special place that these individuals have in the formulation of the Jewish consciousness. Avraham Avinu, for example, you start very soon in the beginning of this Sedra. He arrives in Eretz Yisrael, in Eretz Canaan, and is hit by a famine. And he goes down to Egypt. Comes a major commentary, the Ramban, Nachmanides, and says, Avraham made a big mistake by going down to Canaan, going down to Egypt. He should have toughed it out in Canaan because God had just sent him there. On the other hand, we have sources, Maimonides, for example, the Rambam, who says, how do we know that you could leave Eretz Yisrael in times of economic crisis? Learn it from Avraham Avinu. There was a famine, and he went down to Mitzrayim, and he came back. So there are guidelines that you have to come back, and there's a debate. Did Avraham do the right thing or the wrong thing? Or he technically did an okay thing, but he shouldn't have done it, or it was okay to do. That could be a debate, and it should not take away from the fact that we are talking about the first of the Avot, the first of the patriarchs, that we're talking about the person who rediscovered belief in God and who gave that not just to his descendants, the Jewish people, but to all people in the world, some of whom have taken it and some who have not taken it. But he still grappled with everyday problems, not exactly the same as ones that face us, but the concept of grappling with a problem and not necessarily doing the right thing. Comes the Ramban and says, he says to Sarai at the time, tell them that you're my sister, because if you tell them that you're my wife, they'll kill me. Question, was that the right thing to do? Well, it saved him, but it put Sarah in a very compromising position, which God protected her from. And Ramban says he didn't do it on purpose, but he made a mistake. And then the split with Lot. How do we evaluate that? Here he is bringing his nephew with him on this journey to the land. He's a member of the household, but then he becomes too wealthy, and his shepherds start fighting with Avraham's shepherds, and there's a parting of the ways. Was that the right thing to do? These are real-life questions which we are confronted with, and we're glad that we have our patriarchs to have set certain behavior patterns. And this does not mean that we have to do every single thing that they did. It means the best. We have to do the good things that they did and emulate them when it was a good thing to do. And we have to learn a lesson from perhaps some of the not such good parts of the story. So there are a lot of questions and a lot of food for thought in Lech Lecha and in subsequent Parshiot, but that's Torah. And that's us. So this Shabbat is Parshat Lech Lecha. It is Shabbat Aliyah for those who live in Israel. Let it be a time to celebrate our Aliyah, those who came on Aliyah. Let us tell our children, grandchildren, some of the stories of Aliyah. Let us encourage other people to make Aliyah. And if you are not living here, then let this be a reminder that this is what God wants of all the Jewish people by telling the first Jew, leave your homeland, leave the place of your birth, leave your father's house, and go to the land of Israel. That's where I want, says God, all Jews to be. On that note, I wish you Shabbat Shalom, Lehishtameach.